Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel, and I'm pleased to have my longtime friend Ed Reinhardt, sometimes known as Earl Dixon, here in the new studio of Radio Curious for the first recording of some music. Ed, welcome again.
Well, thank you, Barry, and it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm honored to be laying down your first little bit of music here in your new facility. And what a lovely facility it is, let me say.
You may.
Okay, what a lovely facility it is.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Last time we talked, it was probably not quite a year ago, and you have learned some new music since then.
I've been working on a couple of projects. I met a poet in Virginia, a female poet, and I've been putting some of her poetry to music.
Can you play some of the poetry to music?
Oh, let's see. Well, I can't do the poetry part because she has to recite that. But, you know, so, but the background, I can do a little of it. It's kind of like, you know, and she's saying things about, I don't know, poetry stuff. You know how these poets are? They just sort of talk about their feelings. They want to talk, they're very feeling people.
Well, Ed, I know you're a very feeling guy.
Oh, deeply.
Maybe we can have a little bit of poetry from you. To your music that goes to her poetry, spontaneous as it might be.
As spontaneous as it might be. How about my song of New Age Hope and Restoration? Have we ever done that? I don't think we have.
Let's hear it.
It's currently applicable, even though I actually wrote it at the advent of the first Bush administration, the senior Bush administration.
Long time ago.
A long time ago, and yet it still retained its currency. Okay, here we go. I'm going to sing with this, right?
I hope so.
Oh, me too. Let's see if I can think of something to say. Okay, here we go. Don't you worry, don't you fret. We're going to catch that rainbow yet. Keep your head, don't lose your cool. Life's just an endless school. You may think that life is out to get you. You can feel abandoned and betrayed, but only you can let yourself be broken on the wheel of darkness as it fades. If you don't mind, let me say, I can see the chains all fall away in the morning, in the light that comes to end each frightening night. Don't let lies and greediness deceive you. You're still the better one to tell. When the vandals come to loot and plunder, seek your strength and guard your mother well. Goes sort of like that.
Have things changed since you wrote that? It would have been written
like 1989 or something, 1990 or something like that.
When so. Bush 1 began the tirade.
Yes. Well, they haven't changed as much as I wanted them to. I mean, we hope they've changed now as we move forward into the future. But certainly progress, if for those who believe in forward social progress, has really been in a struggle, hasn't it? There's sort of been the forces are kind of surging back and forth, and there's a lot of divisions in the country, and, you know, I'd like to think that we're sort of moving forward. We're kind of moving forward. I want to believe it.
From the perspective that you bring, living sometimes in Mendocino County, sometimes in rural Virginia, and sometimes in rural Italy, Italy, I would be your druthers if that's where you could choose.
It probably would be, although the place I've been living in Italy, I've been doing it now for 6 years, about half of every year I've been there. And so I've become quite familiar with that particular part of Tuscany. And so as beautiful as it is and as wonderful as it is, it's become very familiar to me as well. The novelty of it has worn off a little bit. And also I think my ability to speak the Italian language or something resembling the Italian language, I think I've gone about as far with that as I can go. my dreams that I once had of reading Dante in the original vernacular and everything are kind of out the window now. I've come to realize that, no, I have to be satisfied with being able to watch children's cartoon shows on Italian television and the occasional episode of Stanlio and Olio, which is what they call Laurel and Hardy.
And your level of satisfaction being able to watch the cartoon shows?
Oh, it's very satisfying indeed. No, it's good. Actually, I mean, no, I can watch Italian movies and so forth and probably have 85% comprehension of what's going on. I just miss the critical, you know, the moment of, well, I know who committed the murder and it was, you know, blank, and somewhere I lose that phrase and so I don't really understand what the movie was about. But they're European films, so it doesn't matter.
Considering the level of comprehension that I have when I watch some American films, maybe I should watch them in Italian.
I think you should, because I don't think that your level of comprehension, it's not your level of comprehension that you're having. The problem isn't on the receiver end on that one, I don't think. I think the problem is on the creative end of that, you know, because unless you understand explosions in slow motion and my favorite thing is people that jump through a plate glass window
and come out whole.
I would actually like to make a movie where somebody decides to jump through a plate glass window because they've seen people do it in the movies, and in the movie they're realistically just cut to shreds, you know. I mean, not that I want to see someone cut to shreds, but I want to make the point that one shouldn't really expect to jump through a glass door or a plate glass window and come out unscathed just because they saw it in the movies. Am I making sense, or have I just spaced out and wandered off down some dark alley of foggy consciousness?
Well, Ed Reinhardt.
I guess I have.
Let me ask you this. From your perspective, have you just made sense?
Yes, of course it made sense to me.
All right, good. Yeah. Then that's what I was hoping you'd say. You're going to be playing some music this Saturday night in Ukiah.
Indeed I am. We're going to have the Burning Sensations, although with a slightly different personnel lineup than the last time. But we're playing at the Saturday Afternoon Club, which is here in Ukiah. It's on Church Street, isn't it?
It's at the corner of Church and South Oak, sometimes known as Soak.
Ah, at the Soak corner, and you can soak up some good boogie woogie and blues. So it will be under the name of Earl Dixon, my alter ego, and the Burning Sensations. And the Burning Sensations will consist of myself and the well-known Mindonesian character Les Tarr of 8 to the Bar with Tarr on another radio station that will remain nameless here. And we're bringing up Hans Rog, an excellent blues guitarist who lives down in the Bay Area, lives in Berkeley, who I used to work with years ago. I ran across Hans when I was here the last time, and we got together and had a jam session for the first time in a long time, and it was wonderful. It was just tremendous. So Hans is coming up, and he's bringing up a drummer that I jammed with down there as well, Steve Early, and we're really looking forward to putting out some very good music this Saturday evening. Starts at about 7:30. At the Saturday Afternoon Club, we can't go real late. So we will be finished around 10:30 or 11, but for better or worse, I think that fits into the demographics of the majority of our listening audience these days.
Well, Ed Reinhardt, can you play us a tune of what we might anticipate hearing on Saturday?
I think I might be able to come up with something like that, so it'd be something like this here. Better than I do myself. somebody else. Little blues there.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're having an in-studio visit from Ed Dixon in the person of, I guess it's Earl Dixon, isn't it?
We've got you thoroughly confused, Barry, and that's exactly the goal I've been striving for with this Gnome Dart thing.
So it's Earl Dixon and Ed Reinhardt.
Well, it could be Ed Dixon. That would be all right, Earl Reinhardt.
Well, let's talk about the Ed and Earl. Why did you develop a pseudonym?
Because I prefer to call it a Gnome Dart, my art name. And the reason is because this way, if people address me, of course, I can't do it here in Mendocino County. I became known under my actual name, and most people know me by that name, and so that's what I go with. But in other places that I've traveled to, I have used the Earl Dixon name, and I'm real happy with that, because if people come up to me and they address me as Earl, then I know that they know me by way of the music. And so I have a context to sort of relate to them. Whereas if they come up and they call me by Ed, especially when I'm in Virginia, it means I'm probably related to them. I have a lot of cousins there, so, you know, who knows who they all are, you know? So I have that. And then if they call me by my more formal name,
Mister.
Then I know that it's some sort of a business thing, and, you know, I need to hang up the phone and go hide for a while until they get thrown off the track. Sorry, Barry's sitting here looking a little nonplussed for a moment.
Well, it was that visual image of being thrown off the track.
I see.
Piano and all.
Yes, that's right. Just throw it out on the railroad ties, let it bounce around.
So let me finish what I started to say before.
All right, if you insist.
This is Radio Curious, and I'm Barry Vogel. And we are talking with Ed Reinhardt, or maybe Earl Dixon, or maybe all of the above. This is one of the variables that we enjoy when we visit with you, Ed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
When you play music, play and let's talk. Because I go back to when we were visiting in Talmadge, Deep East Talmadge, at the Russian River Run, when I ran in exhausted, and there you were. We were having a conversation, and you were...
Oh, the Russian River Run.
Playing music.
Yeah.
How has it become so second nature to you that it's almost like chewing gum and walking at the same time, except that you're talking and playing the piano at the same time?
Practice, practice, practice. That's what the deal is there, so that you can kind of go on automatic. I mean, you like to have some sort of a control of what you're playing, and you like to be able to do different things with it. So you have these certain passages that you're so accustomed to playing that you can pretty well play them without thinking too much about them. But then if you want to get really creative, then you have to focus in on what you're doing. I guess it's like if you're driving a car, you know, and you're just tooling down the freeway and you don't have to think about it too much. I mean, you need to pay attention, but not much. But then if you get into town, say you're at the intersection of Perkins and State Street or something like that, you'd better start paying closer attention, because it's not going to come automatically what you ought to do, because it depends on what the traffic's doing and everything else. Does that answer your question?
It does somewhat. I was just going to talk about that intersection of Perkins and State. That one's okay with me. But the one that bothers me is the intersection one block south of Church and State. There are certain First Amendment issues that come to me from my experience as a lawyer make me object to the intersection of Church and State.
But, sorry, took me a minute to get with you there. I see what you're talking about, yes.
But what they've done is develop an art gallery, that corner, which speaks to that issue from some sense.
I see.
So I'm interested in when we're playing, you're playing, and we're talking now. If we get into an area that takes a lot of thinking on your part, does that diminish your ability to play these tunes that you're coming up with, that the rhythms that you've worked out?
Well, if I if I'm playing something that requires that concentration, of course I have to make that concentration, or yes, then it will diminish my ability to play it.
So where's the crossover?
Well, that's a kind of a vague and fuzzy area, and it depends on many different factors, including what have I had for dinner, how much have they given me to drink at the place I'm playing, and just sort of how I've been feeling, how things have been going in my life. So it's not a fixed point in my personal cosmos. It changes. It moves around. It's a swirling, ever reshaping force of nature that just sort of does what it wants to when it wants to.
Doing what it wants to.
Yeah.
Is that the inspiration for either new tunes or new songs?
Sometimes, and that's a good one. I mean, you can sit down to consciously write a song. I knew a pretty successful songwriter, and the reason he was successful was that every evening he devoted an hour to sitting down with his guitar and writing new material. Well, 95% of what he wrote was really quite awful and boring. But if you do that every hour, you know, 1 hour every night, before long you're going to have a huge, huge collection of really good material, even though 95% of what you did was no good. So I don't use that method myself. I prefer to go with the first method and sort of let the thing speak to me. And the best songs, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones that they come to me and I've got the whole thing in 20 minutes. You know, those are the really, as far as I'm concerned, those are the good ones.
Can you give us an example?
You know? Yeah, let's see. Like I did this one based on, a sort of a personal experience, and it goes... Said, well, what have we here? Good evening to you, dear. You know I've seen you make the place come alive when I see you work out with your jive. But let me make just one thing clear. Now you can have any man but one. Now you can have any man but one. Now you can run around and have your fun. You can have any man but one. Yeah, you can have any man. Suck upon a pickle, dance and prance, pretend you have a chance. Tease him other fellas till their eyes turn yellow, let them fight one another cause they think they've got a chance. I've seen you come and go, I'm familiar with that show. And you can have any man but one. Yeah, you can have any man but one.
Background on that song?
Well, there's the sound of a telephone ringing in the background on that song.
That was the man.
That was it, yeah.
Who couldn't.
That's right. See, you can put that sound in anywhere you want to, and it will represent whatever it is you're trying to represent. It could be the sound of a phone ringing, for example. It could be the sound of someone important trying to call you. It could be the phone that wouldn't stop ringing. It could be, there it is, there's that telephone ringing. That's someone calling to say, you know, you can have any man but one. You can have any man except this son of a gun. So that's the story on that one.
But we don't know who that one is.
Well, but see, that's the mystery of the whole thing. That's where it's open to the interpretation of the listener. The listener can sit back and decide who they want to be on the other end of the phone. Or it could even be a telephone that's ringing randomly by itself with no one actually on the other end. You merely think that there's someone out there because we all want to believe that we're important enough that someone's trying to call us and trying to reach us. Trying to connect with us. We want to feel that we're connecting with something larger than ourselves. And so in a certain sense, that's what the ringing of the telephone in the background represents, is that striving for oneness, that desire to be part of something larger than just merely our own individual selves. Not that there's anything wrong with our own individuality. Of course, that's a necessary component of the richness that makes a society a very desirable place to live. If we were all quite the same, it would simply be a dull and unordinary place. So all of those things are represented by that sound of that telephone ringing in the background. Oh, sure, some people might say, well, that was just a kind of a random event. Somebody didn't turn off the telephone in the studio and it just started ringing, you know. But that would be a wrong interpretation because things happen for a reason. And so that's, you know, we have to reach out and find what those reasons are. We have to constantly be striving to expand our consciousness and understand what it is that these seemingly random events are trying to convey to us, what they're trying to communicate to us. In a way, it's the universe itself trying to reach out to us and open our minds to the possibilities.
Well, I'm glad that I'm curious because that has certainly resolved one of the fundamentals of telephonism that has confused me for many times every time I think of it. And what I think of it is a play that I saw in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1971 or 72, put on by the School for the Deaf in Watertown, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous play where the actors were going through normal daily life, like eating and sleeping. However, they were mimicking hearing people. So they would be having a nice time sleeping, and all of a sudden they'd jump up and they would put this odd-shaped device to their ear and their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would make movements with their mouth, which, of course, no one could hear.
Right.
Or they would be enjoying a very nice dinner with their people, and they would interrupt it and go to this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just spontaneously, out of nowhere, it was almost as if there was some sort of a religious calling.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, you see, that's it. So after all of these years, after 38 years, the real inner meaning of what you saw in that play is finally revealed to you because the cosmos reached out here in the studio and touched us with the sound of a ringing telephone in the background.
Well, I hope it was a religious calling as opposed to a bill collector calling, but we'll never know.
Yeah, no, actually, you should hope it was the bill collector calling because, after all, we didn't answer it, did we?
We have no bill collectors. In this operation?
Yes, we have no bill collectors. Okay. You bet. Sure, we'll make something up about that. And that's called The Check Is in the Mail.
Well, Ed Reinhardt, I want to thank you for being here for this special edition of Radio Curious. And it's Saturday night, August 8th at 7:30 at the Saturday Afternoon Club at the corner of South Oak and Church Street in Ukiah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. That is what it is. The Earl Dixon and the Burning Sensations.
And before we go, is there an idea or a concept that's occurred to you beyond telephonism that you can share with our listeners?
Well, I've been dealing a lot with the concept of family because, as you know, when I've been on the East Coast in Virginia, I'm dealing with family matters. I'm sort of trying to look out for people who need a little bit of looking out for. And so what I've come to realize is that you can't really choose your family. And yet they're still your family. It's a strange thing. You actually might even end up loving people who would not otherwise merit your love, or they end up loving you, and you might not merit their love. So it's kind of been about the I don't want to say perniciousness, because pernicious has a kind of a negative implication, but it's about the ubiquity, as it were, of I guess it's a kind of a biological drive or something that keeps people that are related loving one another when there's really no earthly reason for it, or at least that's the way it seems to me. So that's my big idea of the last period of time.
And can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
I recently finished reading, it's not a new book, the autobiography of David Crosby, called Long Time Gone, David Crosby, who sang in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I was loaned this book by John Beatty, the local sound technician guy. Partly it's the tale of his rise in the world of popular music. Partly it's the tale of his struggle with addiction. He became involved in freebasing cocaine, and it really got a hold of him. So here was this person who had everything. He had everything. He was on top of it, and he basically lost it all because this addiction was so powerful. So it's a story of kind of struggling to, and despite all of his wealth and his fame and his accomplishments, he basically had to go to zero and start over again.
And the name of David Crosby's book once again?
Long Time Gone.
Well, Earl Dixon and Ed Reinhardt, all in one. Thank you for being with us on Radio Curious, and maybe you could give us a couple of minutes as we say our goodbyes.
Certainly.
Our guest this day on Radio Curious is Ed Reinhardt and Earl Dixon, who will be playing together as one with a few others Saturday night at the Saturday Afternoon Club, the Afternoon and the Night Club. The book that Ed recommends is by David Crosby, and Ed, the name of the book again is
Long Time Gone
by David Crosby. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your cards and letters and ideas and your support. And you may contact us at Post Office Box 7 in Ukiah, or reach us by phone at 707-462-6541. And you can listen to this and about 320 other Radio Curious programs at www.radiocurious.org. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thanks for listening as we listen to Ed and Earl, and lots of keyboards being clunked right here in the studios of Radio Curious.